All right, everyone, welcome to episode 39 of the podcast, dude. I'm joined again today by Glenn Leibowitz. Glenn, welcome back. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Aaron. I really appreciate it. You know, we talked a week ago and that episode came out and it sounds fantastic. So again, it's just a huge honor to be on your show, which is by far my favorite podcast about podcasting.
Thank you, sir. And today you're gonna teach people how to turn a podcast interview into a story.
Yeah.
This is something I'm excited about learning about. You mentioned this in the email where we planned out the couple of episodes that we're doing, the three-part series. And so I had two main questions for you that I wanted to tease for the listeners. So I asked you, Glenn, what are the benefits of turning an interview into a story? And then is that something you have to do in advance? Is that something you need to plan in advance? Or is it something you can do to any interview that you do? And you got some great stuff planned for this episode. And I guess I should give people a quick introduction if they've never heard of you before. You're Glenn Leibowitz. You're from Taipei, Taiwan. You live there with your wife and your two kids. You do a fantastic blog and podcast called Write with Impact. And you were recently named one of LinkedIn's top bloggers, top voices.
That's right. That's very good. Actually, just a little clarification. I'm actually from South Florida. Originally, that's where I grew up. I went to college and grad school in the Northeast. And then I moved out to Taipei, Taiwan a very long time ago, about 25 years ago. So I've pursued my career as a communications guy out here in Asia for 25 years. And I'm living in Taipei, Taiwan.
Gotcha. So that's fair. So you're interesting that you still claim Florida. I'm just kidding.
That's okay. My sister was born in Killeen, Texas. Have you ever heard of Killeen, Texas?
I have. I think that's not too far from where I am. But anyways, where was I going with that? Do you want to start the show?
It's your show, man. You're the podcast.
It is.
I'm just your guest.
It is my show.
You ask, I answer. It's very simple.
So you do a lot of writing about writing. Your podcast is about writing. It's a great show, Write with Impact. So let's go ahead and dive into the episode today, man.
Yeah,
I'm excited about this topic.
Let's do it, Aaron.
Where's my intro music? Did you have a good week?
Yeah,
I
had an excellent week last week. Things are getting busy, but that's good. Good busy. So how about yourself?
Yep, it was fantastic. Bass. All right, everyone. Welcome to episode 39 of the podcast, dude. Simon in the chat asked, someone drinking? As far as I know, Glenn has not been drinking. I have not been drinking, unless you consider coffee drinking. I was drinking coffee earlier. I'm not sure about this show, Glenn. Thanks for being here, though, man. This is always fun. For those of you just listening, if you've never heard the show before, my name is Aaron Dowd. I'm 30 years old. I live in Fort Worth, Texas, and I help people make better podcasts. That's the point of this show. I want to help you make a good podcast and tell your story. And Glenn is joining me today, and he's going to help you turn your podcast interviews into a story. So Glenn.
Yes.
First question for you, sir.
Go for it.
What are the benefits of turning an interview into a story?
Well, before I get started on that, I just wanted to thank you again, Aaron, for inviting me back on the show. It's an amazing honor to be on. It's a lot of fun. And your podcast, I love your podcast. It is definitely the best podcast about podcasting out there. So thanks.
Thanks, man. You're too kind.
So, what are the benefits of turning an interview into a story? I would say there are four. And let's start with number one. The first one would be, I think, sort of obvious, which would be to attract listeners to the episode and to your podcast and hopefully persuade them to subscribe. So, you know, I look at it as sort of a type of content marketing for your content marketing. I don't know if that sounds a little bit too meta, but I think it's just, you know, in plain terms, it's just trying to get more people to listen. So I think that's sort of what we all want as podcasters, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Right. So, and I'll talk a little bit, I'll give some specific examples of how I've done that and sort of, you know, the kind of results I've seen from doing this. I've definitely seen an uptick. I always see an uptick in listeners and subscribers whenever I turn an episode into a story, and I'll talk a little bit about how I exactly do that. But in terms of benefits, I think another benefit definitely is getting much more mileage from the interview. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a podcaster, especially if you're just starting out, you may not have a huge subscriber base, and that's, you know, that's okay. That's something you got to work your way up towards. Yeah. But what you can do is you can turn that content into, you know, written content into a story, into a blog, and then get potentially an additional several hundred or thousands or even tens of thousands of people, you know, consuming or enjoying that content. And that's exactly what I've seen. This is exactly what has happened to me, to my content, when I turn my podcast into blog posts. I can get anywhere from a couple thousand to tens of thousands of views, hundreds of likes, comments, dozens or hundreds of comments, and potentially hundreds of social shares, which, as you know, that just sort of radiates the content out to even, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people. So, you know, as we all know, not everyone listens to podcasts. I mean, you and I, we're podcasts.
We do.
We love podcasts. I love podcasts. Yeah. I can't help myself. That's all I do. But, you know, the fact is that even though they're growing rapidly, and I'm a believer in podcasts. In fact, I wrote a blog post about this a year ago, how I believe, I claimed that 2015 would be the year of the podcast. And if you look that up on Google, you'll see that article pop up. But the reality is the numbers are still sort of small as a fraction of, you know, the total population of, you know, listeners out there, people who listen to radio or watch video or read. Podcast listeners are still a small percentage, growing fast. And as you know, at some point they will, it will become a sizable share of the overall sort of audience out there. So the point being that you can take your content, your audio content, and leverage it and convert it into written content. That's sort of what I'm talking about. And I've gotten a lot of, I've seen a really great results from that. And again, I'll give you some specific examples about that in a couple minutes.
Awesome. And yeah, and you know, touching on the people who listen to podcasts versus people who don't, podcasting has been around for a while, but I still think it is something that's relatively new, and people who aren't tech savvy, let's just say, maybe aren't familiar with the process. But if you do this, if you turn your interview into a story and someone shares this story with their friend who's never listened to podcasts before, and that friend goes and visits the page where the story is, and they see a little audio player and it says, listen to this podcast, that might be someone's first experience with a podcast. And that might make it click in their mind. And that they go, oh, okay, I understand. This is, you know, this is just like somebody, like almost like a radio show, like an NPR show, depending on the format of your podcast. But I think that's really, really valuable.
Exactly. No, it's funny that you mentioned NPR, because I remember, I think it was in college, I really started to sort of fall in love with radio, and in particular NPR. And, you know, it's kind of fun that you and I, we actually get to be our own sort of little mini NPRs. Kind of fun, right?
They are so good at telling stories, though, man. Like,
yeah.
But that's a whole nother show.
Exactly. So, yeah. And then another reason I think you should try to do what I'm going to talk about, storifying, I call it storifying your podcast interview, is it helps you build your relationship with your guest. So, you know, you've just turned, whenever I write a blog post about my guest or about a number of guests, I've basically turned, you know, you turn your guests into the hero of your story. And hopefully they'll recognize and remember that. They usually do. So, you know, they'll thank you.
People love that.
And if not, that's okay as well. You know, you shouldn't expect anything, any recognition or anything in return, but you never know what can happen as a result of the goodwill that you create. So, and I'll give you a specific example in a minute of, you know, one guest, the creator of WordPress, Matt Mullenweg. You know, he liked the blog post that I wrote about him based on that episode, that interview that I did of him, and he posted it on his Facebook page, and it just, you know, it went viral. So
that guy's got some followers. I remember that.
Yeah. And then finally, honestly, I think it just allows you to practice your writing and storytelling skills. And so, you know, as a podcaster, you know, developing audio content is the priority, and that's fine. But, you know, as we all know, as all of us podcasters know, and I'm quoting Sean McCabe here, it all starts with writing. So, you know, before I... You know, it could be an email invitation to a potential guest. That's writing. I have to sort of write a little sales pitch, you know, a little invitation to persuade them to come on my show. So that's writing. I have to write an outline, with the questions that I'm going to cover with my guest. That's writing. And then, I write up the show notes, and that's writing. So this is just taking it to another level. It's turning the content that you produce, the audio content that you produce, and turning it into writing. So it's good practice, and frankly, it's a lot of fun.
That's fantastic, man. And I'm curious about how I'm going to apply this after the fact, for future episodes. And I was thinking to myself before, I was like, I wonder if I could turn this episode about turning a podcast interview into a story. Do you think that's possible?
It's definitely possible. And I may beat you to the punch. I might actually do it.
So. you want to turn this this interview into a story?
We'll talk about that offline. Let's
Okay, I'm sorry. Derailing. Okay, so that sounds great. Sounds like there are a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
So is this something that you have to do in advance? Do you need to kind of like come up with a plan to turn your interview into a story? Does it shape the way you do questions? Or can you do this to pretty much any interview regardless of what questions you ask or how it goes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say you don't always have to plan it in advance, but it helps a lot, and I try to do it. So I plan the focus of each episode, each podcast episode beforehand, and write questions that are aimed at that or relevant to that topic. And doing this allows me to stay focused in my conversation and deliver value to my listeners. And it allows me to collect enough information that I can then use to write my story, which I publish as a blog post. So you don't absolutely have to think about it in advance, but it helps me a lot so that I'm asking the right questions so that I know I have a very rough idea of the post that I'm going to write. Again, it's not just the show notes, and show notes are essential, and I write show notes, but this is a story in the form of a blog post that I write. So I try to have that blog post in mind.
I like this. I just want to highlight something you just said. Just a couple of words. You said, stay focused on the conversation, deliver value to my listeners, and collect information.
Yep.
I like that. I think that's like a recipe for a successful interview, regardless of how you approach it. But that's okay. So let me ask you this. How is this approach, storifying a podcast episode, how is this different from show notes, the way that most people do them, either a quick summary or the way I do it, where I kind of do like a hybrid transcript / show notes summary blog post thing?
Okay, this is a great question, and this is really important to understand before we get started into exactly, sort of the how-to of how I storify my podcast episodes. So, show notes are essential. They give you the key information you need to know about the guest or guests. It could be multiple guests. Includes links to resources, links to their websites and social media, and maybe the books that they've written. Maybe you include quotes or even a complete edited transcript like you include in your show notes. And I always write show notes, fairly brief show notes for each of my episodes, but this is different. So this is not show notes. And by the way, before I continue, I just want to say, I think you and Sean and the entire team at Sean West write the best show notes I've ever seen. And let me explain what I mean by that. You have very thoroughly edited transcript. It's not a raw transcript. I've seen some podcasters throw raw transcripts unedited up, and that's not what you do. So you edit them thoroughly. Number two, you have these live links directly to the segments in the episode on the audio. So if you click the timestamp, that'll take you to the audio portion of that. And then finally, you also have amazing artwork. So in terms of show notes, you, Aaron, Sean, Ben, your entire team, you guys put together, Corey, you put together the best show notes I've ever seen.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And actually, if I can interrupt real quick, I actually had Sean and his wife, Lacey, who is one of the main show note writers for the Sean West Network. And I still write my own show notes for this show, but we have some help doing the other shows on the network. But I had both Sean and Lacey on my podcast on episode 5 to explain kind of the thought process, why we put so much work into it, and kind of how we do it. So thepodcastdude.com/5, if anyone's interested in leveling up your podcast show note game, then go check that out, episode 5. And I will say this, man, it's a lot of work. I put quite a few hours every week into doing the show notes, but it pays off for a variety of different reasons, which we get into more detail on episode 5. So,
no, but yeah, I highly recommend listening to that episode and taking advice from Aaron on show notes. And Sean, this is just, you guys do it great. But what I just very simply, this is not about show notes. What I'm going to talk about, it's going to be a little bit different. So in a nutshell, storifying a podcast, as I call it, is taking a conversation, a podcast conversation, an interview, and extracting the essence of it or from it. And what's most interesting to me, at least, and which I hope is interesting to others, to you know, my followers on LinkedIn and elsewhere, and then turning that into a story, even if it's a short blog post. So in a nutshell, that's what I'm going to talk about today.
Taking a conversation and extracting the most interesting thing from it, like the essence of the conversation, kind of the point, I would say.
Exactly.
Awesome. So walk me through this, Glenn. So how do I storify my podcast episode?
So first, there's several steps involved here. First, I identify the most interesting insight that I learned, or an interesting fact or factoid about my guest that they shared with me on the show. Mm. And if they share lessons from their work or life, I try to distill those into a handful of takeaways that I can then share in my blog post. And I'm going to give you an example, the one that I just mentioned very briefly. So, for example, I interviewed Matt Mullenweg, the creator of WordPress and CEO of Automattic. And so besides talking about writing, he told me a lot about how he runs his company, which I found just as fascinating, or even more fascinating than what it, you know, our discussion on writing, and that was interesting. Mm-hmm. So his company has about, it's Automattic. His company has about 450 employees. They actually just acquired a number of companies, but recently, last year, they acquired WooCommerce, and so they have about 450 employees around the world, and they rarely, if ever, step foot into an office. They don't have offices, so they work virtually from home.
That's how I do it.
Exactly,
I love it.
And you know, for someone like me who I do work from an office, and a lot of people still work in offices, it sounds somewhat radical or different. And I know it's becoming much more common, much more, it's more of a common phenomenon. But it is sort of interesting to me and others who work in offices. The other interesting thing is how much Matt hates to use email for communication inside his company. So if you listen to us talk about it, it's just so funny the way he talks about it. He said, "Do you like email? I mean, come on, you know." So he hates email, and he makes it very public, his distaste for email. So what they do is they instead use a blogging platform, which of course they wrote. He probably hand-coded it himself, like he did WordPress. It's a WordPress theme, basically, that enables them to collaborate and share content and archive conversations. And although he didn't use the example, the comparison, it sounds, you know, a little bit like Slack, but it's their own version of that. And there's so much more, you know, that they can do with that platform that you can't do with email. So anyway, my point is that I took those elements that Matt shared with me on the podcast, and I wrote a post on LinkedIn that I published on LinkedIn that I called "The Billion-Dollar Tech Company with No Offices or Email." And the post went viral on LinkedIn, and midway through the growth in views, the view count of that post, Matt shared it on his Facebook page, and he's got hundreds of thousands of followers on Facebook, and that gave it another huge boost on LinkedIn. So just to sort of wrap all this up, to summarize this point, find what's most interesting and maybe unusual about the story your guest has shared with you, and focus on that in your blog post.
I like that, because I see how it could have very easily been, you know, just another interview with the founder of a really cool company, you know, my interview with Matt Mullenweg. But right. instead, you took something that I think a lot of people are interested in, which is remote working and how much email sucks.
Exactly.
And then you not only crafted a story out of that, but you incorporated those things into your title.
Exactly. You got it. So this is not rocket science. This is not something that you need an advanced degree for at all. I also don't take credit for inventing it, but I would say that I don't see a lot of podcasters doing it. Mm. And so I think that's why it's kind of interesting to talk about, and hopefully, some people out there, some podcasters out there will be inspired to do this. And I have shared this with some podcasters, and I know they've thought of doing this, or maybe they've already started to, but anyway. So I think there's another step that comes. So once you've sort of identified what's interesting about the conversation about the person that you just interviewed, and hopefully there's something, there usually is, and there could be multiple things that are interesting, but you know, I suggest just trying to establish a focus, just focusing on one or two things. The next thing is that you start off your post, your blog post, with a story about your guest that introduces them in an interesting or compelling way. So for example, I interviewed Shane Snow. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's the co-founder of Contently. Contently is a content marketing firm, and they match up writers with major publications. And he also wrote a book called Smart Cuts about a year, year and a half ago. It's a great book. And I started my post about him with a story of a mural that they painted on the wall of their office, Contently's office in New York City. And the mural it's a proverb. It's a Hopi Indian proverb that says, "Those who tell the stories rule the world." Tell the stories rule the world. And it's just a great quote. And I just kicked off that blog post with that quote. And I think that resonated with a lot of readers. And that's just sort of a way into the story, a way to introduce Shane and his views on storytelling. So that post I called that tips for telling stories that readers will share. For telling stories that readers will share. And so it's basically how he tells stories. He's also an influencer on LinkedIn, and he's a journalist by training. So he tells stories all the time. That's what he does for a living. He's a storyteller. And so that's how, you know, I opened it up with that quote, that Hopi Indian quote. And then I basically shared his advice on storytelling. And it's not a particularly long post, but it did resonate with a lot of people. And you can see, you know, a lot of people read it and commented on it and liked it and shared it. So it was a successful post.
Yeah. Well, and something I tell people is that you don't have to aim for a specific length. Like having a 40-minute episode or a 2,000-word blog post isn't going to make it automatically successful. You just have to make it as long as it needs to be, as long or short as it needs to be valuable.
Right. And, you know, when you speaking of starting off a post, you don't have to always start off talking about the guest. So what I mean by that is sometimes, very often, I tell a story about myself, about maybe my family. So, for example, I wrote a post about coding for kids, why kids should learn to code. And I started off with a story of how my daughter had just finished the 2-hour coding challenge on code.org. And then I started to complain why, you know, her school doesn't offer enough coding classes for kids. And then I led that, and then I led into the main point of my blog post, which was around why kids should learn to code.
I'm with you on that, man. I wish I would have been required to take some coding lessons when I was a kid. So starting off the episode with a story.
Exactly. And again, it could be a story about your guest, and that's definitely a good way to start off. It's very relevant. And then if you go a little bit off, not exactly off track, but you could start off with something about yourself, relate about yourself. And the reason why I do that is because, first of all, it's easy. It's easy to talk about, you know, stories that I'm familiar with, that I've experienced. And it helps the reader relate to me a little bit, get to know me a little bit. So I'm not just, you know, standing at a podium and talking to an audience. I'm trying to sort of open myself up a little bit and get kind of personal, to be frank. And I've done that. If you read my blog post on LinkedIn and on my blog, you'll see that I write a lot about things that have happened to me, things I've learned, and then I try to relate it to something else.
Awesome.
And then the next step is that you need to list out some lessons that you've learned or insights that you've gathered from your guest. And this is where I start to quote my guest a lot more liberally. So you can structure it like a Q&A. That's okay, but not necessarily. You don't have to do that. You can have a sub-headline, for instance, with the lesson learned. I learned these 6 lessons, for example, lesson 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is what I learned. And then explain, you know, what the lesson is, you know, what you learned. And then you weave in a quote from your guest. So, you know, so-and-so, Matt Mullenweg, said this about this point, about using email or about not having offices, or, you know, Shane Snow talked about, you know, the key elements of you know, what makes a great story that people are going to want to share. And he said this, 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 rather than a straight Q&A. And what's interesting is I did actually, I talked to one of the editors at LinkedIn, and she suggested storifying the podcast episode versus, you know, publishing a straight Q&A. She thinks that, you know, she's seen that be far more effective on LinkedIn. And I think it's not just about LinkedIn. It's, you know, it could be on your blog, could be, you know, wherever else you publish. It's not just a LinkedIn specific thing, but, you know, creating a story, writing a story versus just, you know, sharing the Q&A is a lot more interesting.
Now, okay. Now I'm thinking about how I could create a story out of this episode. And in my mind, I'm coming up with a title, because I think you think titles are important. Titles are important. I'm thinking let me, I'm doing this live, Glenn. Going to do this live.
Make me nervous.
How Glenn Leibowitz reached a massive audience through telling stories out of podcast interviews. I'm not quite there yet. I'm going to do some more brainstorming.
That sounds pretty ambitious and a little bit clickbaitish, but I'll take it.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds good. That's very creative. And even if it's not true, but anyway.
Well, I'm thinking about, like, okay, what's the biggest takeaway out of this episode?
Yeah.
And it's very much that you found success by using this storifying an interview or a blog post.
Yeah, it's worked very well for me. And in fact, when I was preparing for this episode, I was just thinking through, you know, my points. At the end, I looked at all my blog posts and I counted 12 posts that I've written based on podcast interviews. Now, I've done, you know, many more interviews since I launched my podcast last year, last April, and I wish I could have turned each one into a story. I just didn't have the time. But I did do several, about 12, and several of those 12 did very, very well on LinkedIn. And again, it's not just about LinkedIn. You could do very well, you know, wherever you publish on your own blog. But anyway, it works, and it's actually a lot of fun. And it's not rocket science. It's something that I think any podcaster can potentially do. So yeah,
excellent.
So do you want to move on?
Well, I had just a super quick question about something.
Sure.
You said you didn't have enough time, and so I generally spend anywhere from, I want to say, maybe 3 to 6 hours a week on my show notes for my show. And that's 30 to 45 minute episode, solo show. A little bit longer if it's like a guest. So do you, when you say it takes, you didn't have enough time, is that just because of your busy schedule? You know, you have a lot of things going on, or do you find it takes more time, significantly more time than doing just like a short description, miniature blog post, kind of like you do for a lot of your podcast episodes?
Right. So for the episodes, I do short, you know, show notes. And yes, it takes a little bit more thought to come up with a little bit of a story, again, about myself or about the guest, and then to, you know, pick out the quotes from, because I don't transcribe all my episodes. So I don't have that transcription ready to go. So if any of you podcasters out there, if you have a transcription ready, this whole process will be so much faster for you than it is for me. Because if I were to transcribe all of my episodes, I would have that text in front of me and I would be able to highlight, you know, pick out, you know, the best quotes that are most relevant. So I think that's a great exercise is the transcription, so that you have that in front of you and you can pick out 3, 4, 5, or 6 takeaways and then, you know, and the key quotes from that conversation and then put that into your post. So
That's a great plan. And we actually do something similar. We call them highlights, takeaways, and quick wins, I think.
Absolutely. It's very, very similar to that. All I'm suggesting is just wrapping it in, you know, into just a little bit more of a structure, a little bit more of a story. It's not radically different from what you're doing, but it is a little bit different.
Awesome.
So yeah, you know, you can focus on another suggestion I have is that you can focus on just one guest in your story, and I do that a lot. Like I said, I mentioned I wrote just about Matt Mullenweg, or you can combine guests, you know, multiple guests into a single story. So I've done that several times. So for example, I wrote a post that I called, and this was the headline, I asked 3 experts if kids should learn to code. And this is what they said. So I kicked off the post with a personal story. I just related the story a couple minutes ago of how my daughter had just finished the code.org 2 hours of code challenge at home. So basically she learned to code for the first time ever. It's sort of, it's a Scratch-like program. And I don't know if you're familiar with Scratch. Scratch is sort of a very, very simple coding, I don't know if you call it a language, for kids. So kids can learn how to the basics, the essentials of coding. And in that post, as I mentioned, I complained a little bit about how her school doesn't have enough coding classes. And then I weaved in several questions around why kids should learn to code. And I included answers from two podcast guests, which included Matt Mullenweg. So I used him again. And then Chris Fox, the app developer, who just recently became a full-time novelist. So he left his job as an app developer, but he's a coder by profession, and now he's become a novelist. So I quoted from them. I also included comments from Nathan Blasharczyk. He's the co-founder and CTO of, the chief technology officer of Airbnb. I didn't interview him on my podcast, but I did speak to him, and I asked him some questions about coding for kids. And this is Nathan Blasharczyk, Matt Mullenweg, and Chris Fox, they all emphatically agreed that kids should learn to code, even if they don't become coders, professional programmers. They should learn the basics, the essentials of coding, because it helps them become better thinkers, better problem solvers. There's just so many other benefits. If they want to become a manager of other coders at some point, let's say they work in a company, you know, there's so many benefits for kids to learn coding. Anyway, so my bigger point is that, and I've done this with several posts, I've done roundups. So I've taken 4, 5, even 6 guests, and I've quoted from each of them, but focused on a particular topic. So, to give you another example, I wrote a post called How to Get More Writing Done Even When You're Not in the Mood. And that was about writing productivity. So how could you write more even if you don't feel like it? That's basically what it's about. And I quoted 6 or 7 of my guests. I've been interviewing lots of writers over the past year, and I just pulled out, a really good quote from them about how they get more writing done, even if they're, super busy or tired or uninspired. What do they do to be more productive writers? So it's just a roundup of different, of quotes and insights from different guests.
That's a fantastic idea. And now I have to ask you, did you have some kind of master plan all along? Like, it was like, I'm going to ask all these people these questions, and then 6 months in the future, I'm going to go back and pull all the answers and make a new blog post out of it. I mean, did you plan that, or was that just accident?
Yeah, no, I didn't plan that. It just happened that I've been building up this archive of conversations, podcast conversations. And when I look across all of them, if I look back over my archive, there are a number of themes that I cover, and I can extract from those and sort of pull those together into one post or two posts. So for example, another one I did was books. I called it books that will inspire you to become a writer. So I like to ask all of my guests, what books inspired them to become a writer? Or maybe it could be an author, maybe not necessarily a particular book. And so they tell me, and I always find that fascinating. And so what I did was I pulled that together into a blog post, and I called it Books That Will Inspire You to Become a Writer. And I pulled, 5 or 6 of the, quotes about the books that made these people that I've interviewed, want to become a writer at some point in their life, maybe as a kid or as a teenager, or, maybe it inspired them as an adult to leave their full-time job and become a full-time writer. And so, yeah, it happens after the fact.
That's awesome. And I want to start doing that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Although I don't do interviews, a lot, but maybe I'm going to start thinking about that. Okay. We can keep moving on.
Okay. So yeah, no, we're getting there. Last, but definitely not least, and this is really important, is to write a great headline. So, it's very important. I always start my post with a couple of, even before I start writing, the meat of the post, I write a couple of headlines, sometimes several, and then I revisit the headlines and rework them over and over after I've written the draft, after I've written the post. And then sometimes I even, believe it or not, I'll show them to my kids, because they give me very honest feedback, and really brutally honest feedback. They say they like this, or they hate that, or they just sort of wrinkle their nose, or they just You could tell when they don't like something. And they're, you know, some very often, it's very funny, sometimes they're right. They sort of land on the right one. If it sounds good to them, to their ears, then sometimes they'll use that. I don't always use the recommendations, but and it often works. And so yeah, that's basically the process. So headlines are really key, and we've talked a lot about that.
We talked about it last week, but it's worth revisiting.
Yeah, and headlines are really, really important. Everyone I talk to, you know, who writes blog posts regularly on LinkedIn or anywhere for any publication or for their blog, agrees that you know, headlines are important. I think you do a great job. You, Sean, Ben, you guys do a great job at writing, you know, great headlines for your podcast episodes and for your blog posts, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, all the best headlines for the episodes for this show have come from Sean. He and if not directly, then indirectly, because he's just been so helpful. And it always, you know, everything comes back to thinking about providing something valuable to the listener, to the reader.
Yeah.
And I always try to think about that when I write my headlines. And I don't get it. I don't get it 100% all the time.
You know,
some of the shows I go back and I look at, and I'm like, well, what was I thinking about with that title? What are you doing, Aaron? But you do try to. I think, what is it that he says? He says, you have to deliver what they need in a package of what they want. So sometimes people may not even realize that they need a piece of advice. So you kind of have to present it in a way that is something that they do want. You know, it's like, do you want more podcast listeners? Well, then you need to freaking buy a better microphone. You know, I would never put that as a title of my episode. But
that's a good headline. You should use.
Well, I wish more people would buy better microphones.
No, exactly. No, it's a good point. I mean, you know, you hear so many podcasts. It's such a shame they put so much time and effort into them, and then they, you know, kind of use a crappy microphone and they ruin everything.
Well, and you know what it is, but this ties in, because people do want listeners. People do want an audience. They want people to hear their story.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I want that for people. But what I've realized is that the way you present it, the quality of how you present it, the audio quality plays a big part in whether someone will be open to receiving your message or not. You know, I don't know if you've seen it, but there was a video. Oh gosh, I wish I could remember his name, but there's this heartbreakingly beautiful video on YouTube that I watched the other day that was about this guy who was told as a kid that he would never be good at things. Like I don't know if he had a low IQ or what it was, if he was slow in school and the teachers just they made him take this test and he didn't score very well on anything, and they told him he wasn't going to amount to much, but he ended up being a professional photographer and really changing the world. And someone, please send me a link to this, or I will find it and include it in the show notes at thepodcastdude.com/39, because it's just such a beautiful story. But the presentation was just phenomenal. I mean, it wasn't super elaborate in that it was just a guy talking to the camera, pretty a plain background, but there were all these drawings and like, it was almost like a transcript in real time of the words that he was saying being drawn on the screen of, you know, the video. But it was just a beautiful presentation, and there was emotional moving background music, and it just had such a strong impact that the message sunk in even further. And I was thinking to myself, thank you, Jeremy, is it Cowart? Cowart? Jeremy Cowart, and I think it was I'm Possible, thank you. So I'm Possible by Jeremy Cowart. I'll probably get that wrong. Anyways, I'll include a link or go Google that. But I was thinking, like, this message wouldn't have hit me as hard if the presentation hadn't have been good, if the quality wasn't there. You know, if he just recorded it with an iPhone in his bedroom, he put a lot of time and thought into crafting this experience to help his message, which was a very positive one. And if you watch the video, you'll see what I mean. But yeah, so that's why I harp on quality so much. Wow, that was a rant.
That's okay. No, you should harp on quality and continue to hold the bar for quality. Like, you know, you, Sean, Ben, you guys, Corey, you know, whenever I recommend anything, you know, about podcasting, I just sort of point them to your podcast, because I know you've got the right, you know, you got the right recommendations for everything. So keep it up. Yeah, definitely don't lower your bar for anyone.
Thank you. So we were, before I went off on that tangent, we were talking about titles, headlines. Headlines are really important. Anything else you want to say on that before we wrap up?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, I just you know, maybe if you want to include them in the show notes here, I've got a whole bunch of links to the blog post that I wrote based on podcast interviews that I did. And, mm-hmm. you know, just to give you, I read some of the headlines already. I'll just read a couple more. Would be an expert's guide to making better videos on a budget. Mm-hmm. And that's where I talked.
Caleb Logic.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm having him on my show in a couple of weeks.
He's fantastic. Yeah, he's definitely the video guy.
DIY video guy,
right. And then I wrote a post called What Most 747 Pilots Won't Tell You About Flying. And I interviewed a pilot from British Airways. He's a 747 pilot, but he also wrote a book last year called Skyfaring. It's really a beautiful book about modern flight. And I highly recommend it. And so, you know, what most 747 pilots won't tell you about flying. And it's really fascinating stuff that he shares in his book. A little scary, too.
Now I'm curious about what that is.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then I wrote a post called This Artist Hits Publish Without Asking for Permission. And that was about Charlotte Erickson. She's an indie musician. And a singer, musician, and she also writes books. Mm-hmm. And she uses her very large social media following to, you know, create a following, a community around her music and her. Anyway, and then you know, I just have a bunch of other headlines that I wrote, you know, posts about that were based on my podcast interviews. So to summarize, you know, this is not something you always have to do or should do for every episode that you publish. Obviously, it is a little bit time consuming, but it's not that hard. Read through some of the samples, read what I've published, and you know, you'll get a very quick sense of how I do it. And they are different. Again, they're different from show notes, and I always do both. So I always have show notes. So I have the basic information, you know, the introduction to my guest, links to the website, social media, books, all that kind of good stuff. I always have show notes, but I have a totally separate blog post with a story based on my conversation with them with a totally different headline. And I highly recommend you podcasters out there, give it a shot, give it a try, and then drop me an email and send me a link to your post, and you'll let me know how it goes.
Excellent. Well, I think I'm definitely going to try this. And hopefully other people do too. So, Glenn, thanks so much for coming on the show today, man. I really appreciate it. I know you're going to be back next week. In the meantime, where can people go to find you online?
Yeah, so I was actually inviting everyone to email me at glenn@rightwithimpact.com. And then find my website is rightwithimpact.com. And find me on LinkedIn also. It's rightwithimpact.com/LinkedIn, LinkedIn, of course. And there, if you go to profile, you'll see all of my blog posts. I've published something like 77 so far, and I'm going to continue to publish there in addition to, of course, my own blog. But next week, we're going to talk about, you know, why I publish on LinkedIn and why I think you should too.
And I think I got to tell you, I'm going to have to publish something on LinkedIn now, especially after next week's episode.
Definitely, definitely. So I look forward to that. But Aaron, thank you so much for inviting me back again on your show, which I love. And a shout out to the Sean West community. And I get no affiliate commission for saying this, but I highly recommend joining the community.
Yeah.
If you're a creative professional or professional of any kind, wherever you are in the world, whether you're all the way out here in Taipei, Taiwan, or Beijing, China, or in Siberia, or San Antonio, Texas, wherever you are, join a global community of professionals that are dedicated to producing quality content, quality art, and are just a bunch of really cool people to hang out with.
Yeah, it's something that it always amazes me, just the level of awesomeness of the people here. It's everyone here is just smart and tries really hard and is always learning and really cares about doing the best that they can and making the most out of life. It's just, it's really inspiring, and I'm stoked to be part of this community, and I'm stoked to help create it. And so yeah, SeanWest.com/community. And if you guys have any podcast related questions, or if you just want to say hi, you can email me. I'm Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. You can also find me on Twitter @thepodcastdude. I talk with people there all the time, you know, give people high fives, say what's up. Glenn, you're on Twitter as well, correct?
I am @GlennLeibowitz, Glenn with two N's, LeibowitZ. And you can spot my, hopefully my Write with Impact Twitter handle, which is Impactful Writer, Impactful Writer.
And so @GlennLeibowitz and @ImpactfulWriter.
Yeah.
Awesome. So am I forgetting anything else? I don't think I am. Well, you know, I totally skipped the outro last time.
That's okay. That was a great episode. And I hope people can listen to that first episode where we talked about sort of my general writing tips. And my wife and my daughter enjoyed listening to that one all the way through. So thank you for that. That was a lot of fun. And I do recommend people listen to that for some, you know, general writing strategies.
It was a really good show, man. And, you know, and I did go back and like, I did this thing where I recorded the outro after I already said, you know, goodbye in a sense. So I had to move things around and splice them together. No, but I don't know why I'm telling you this. Nobody cares. It all worked out in the end. That's what my point is.
It worked. Sounded great. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Aaron. Again, thanks to everyone in the community and everyone listening. Really appreciate it.
Hey, we got some questions to do, man. Don't leave yet.
Uh-oh. Okay. Happy to.
Daniela in the chat had asked, so this blog post you write, you know, this story, this is separate to the interview audio page. And I think maybe she was asking, are you creating a different post basically?
Yeah.
For this story?
Absolutely. That's what I just mentioned a little bit at the end of the program. I said this totally separate post, totally different headline, totally different content.
Excellent. So I'm trying to think about like, I'm trying to think about how this would look for me, because, you know, I do, as of right now, my website is kind of attached to the SeanWest.com website. So it's basically just a subsection of that. So I don't post anything on my site except for podcast episodes with show notes. But what I could do is I do the episode every week and the show notes for the episode, but then I could take and turn one or more of my episodes into a story and then post them on somewhere like LinkedIn or Medium, or even my own personal site, which is aarondowd.com, which I, you know, blog at occasionally just for more for fun.
No, absolutely. And that's exactly what I do. So I have Glenn, I didn't talk about this on the episode, but I have glennleibowitz.com. That's where that's my main blog. That's my sort of my home base. And I'm holding on to that, of course. And then I have LinkedIn, and I also publish on Medium. And also writewithimpact.com. So I actually have four places.
You got enough websites there, Glenn?
I don't know. Not enough. It's not, I love it. I love WordPress. I love, you know, writing. I love publishing. I love multimedia. I love it all. It's so much fun.
I got to say, yeah. And you were talking about, Chris Fox in the episode. You mentioned him. And you mentioned him last week as some of one of the writers that you really recommend for people to go check out if they want to get better at writing. And actually did. I went through the list. I think it was, who was it? Joanna Penn, Jeff Goins, Chris Fox and Monica Leonel.
You got it. That's right.
So I actually went through and I'd heard of Joanna Penn through the guys that did Write, Publish, Repeat, which is a book I've been listening to and recommended last week. So I went and checked out her podcast. It's pretty good. But I went and signed up for all their email newsletters. And I actually bought Chris new, is it his new book? I think 5,000 words per hour.
Yeah, how to Chris, be basically that's right, how to 5, be a faster words writer. Per hour. Mm-hmm. That's by Chris Fox. Yeah.
Yeah. And I started reading it and it, I really like his writing, man. And between like, between all these writers and then the Write, Publish, Repeat and you and all this stuff, I'm getting this weird itch to start writing fiction. And that is not like me at all.
Aaron, that's so funny. I know I had that dream like 12 or 13 years ago. And at the time I bought like 15 or 20 books on how to write your first novel. And I never did, wrote the novel. One of those, you know, I think about, I dream about, I didn't do it. So I definitely want to write my first nonfiction book first. But yeah, talking to all these novelists, it kind of,
oh man,
it sounds just like they make it sound like so much fun. And I know it's not, I know it's a lot of hard work, but really the way they do it. And by the way, Chris Fox is starting up a challenge for himself. He's writing a full novel in 21 days starting today or yesterday. And he's going to be, you know, sharing his whole process of how he writes a novel and publishes it on Amazon within 21 days. So just a little bit of a shout out to Chris Fox. He was on my podcast this week. And he was talking about his new book called Write to Market, where, you know, how you do, he talks about the kind of research you need to do to sort of, you know, get your, even before you start writing your first draft, you know, picking your genre, the kind of, you know, marketable genre on Amazon, all that kind of good stuff that sounds like it's for novelists, but it's also applicable to nonfiction writers. So anyway.
That was a great podcast interview. I listened to that yesterday, day before, Saturday.
Yeah.
What day is it? I listened to that a couple of days ago and it was really good. And that's actually kind of why I went out and bought his book. And then you were nice enough to gift me his new one. Right. Was it Write for Market? Write to Market?
Yeah. I think I gave you Lifelong Writing Habit.
Okay. Yeah,
he's written just in the past, it's hard to believe, like the past 6 months, maybe 8 months, he's written 3 books on writing. So in addition to being a novelist, he writes werewolf, science fiction, thriller. I don't know. He writes all kinds of different, in different genres. He writes books about writing. And one of them is 5,000 words per hour. The other one is Lifelong Writing Habit, which is really good. And then his newest one is Write to Market. And he's going to come out with more this year. So.
Yeah. So people go check out, was it chrisfoxwrites.com?
Yeah. Or just go to writewithimpact.com/.
Go listen to his interview.
Episode 42. So writewithimpact.com/episode42. And then he's also on an earlier episode. I think it was 27 or episode 29.
I think it was 29. Yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to that one too.
Yeah.
Excited. Yeah, so that was good. So awesome. Well, I think that's pretty much it for questions today, unless anyone in the chat has any questions. So next week, okay, so Garrett Mickley said in the chat, I never use LinkedIn because, you know, next week we're talking about LinkedIn. And Garrett, I hear you, man. I hear you. But Glenn and I had a conversation about this, and I think I might be able to talk you into it. Because I'm not going to say that you talked me into it, Glenn, but I definitely see the value that's there. And I think it's a market that people like me, I think it'll depend a lot on your podcast or on who your target audience is. But I think people like me, especially people who want to share their knowledge, share what they know and grow a community and are kind of business minded. And I, you know, I'm not a typical like button down shirt, suit and tie kind of professional, but I do take what I do very seriously. And so I consider myself a professional in that way. So we're going to try to talk you guys into using LinkedIn.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, just wait. That I've got a few things to say about that, and I think I might be able to convert a couple of you. And again, I do not work for LinkedIn at all. I work for a totally different company, but I've seen quite a bit of impact, quite a bit of results from writing there. And I know a lot of people there, a lot of friends and colleagues have as well. And it may or may not be for you, but anyway, it's an interesting conversation, and you can definitely get a lot out of that just from, you know, the whole approach that I take to writing blog posts. So even if you don't publish on LinkedIn, which I recommend you consider, you can publish it on your own hosted blog, your own blog.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, man. And I really appreciate it. Looking forward to next week. I'm going to be sad after we're done with next week. No more Glenn Leibowitz on the show.
Good. No, I really appreciate it. I'm definitely excited about next week. It is a great topic. I really enjoy the topic, and you know, you'll hear it in my voice when I talk about it. I think I'll get you all charged up about publishing on LinkedIn. But in the meantime, thanks again, Aaron. Thanks to everyone in the community. And if you want to throw me some more questions, just drop me an email.
Excellent. Glenn@rightwithimpact.com, right?
Yep. It's Glenn with two N's. Yeah.
And I am Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Glenn, have an excellent day, sir. And I will talk to everybody next week.
Thanks, Aaron.
Good show, sir.
Thank you, Aaron Dowd.
Oh, I forgot to say it. I'll get you next week.